Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the 7th and the 8th Mishnah of the 8th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. And more on house rentals. Hamaskir bayit lichavero, hamaskir chayev badelet, baneger, uvaman'ul, uvachol davar shu ma'asei uman, aval davar she'eno ma'asei uman hasocher osehu. So if you rent a house to somebody, and what you have to do, the person who rents the house has to make sure the house has a door. A neger is a bolt lock, something you would slide into the mezuzot, into the frame of the door. A manul is a standard lock. And kol davar shu ma'aseh uman, anything which can only be made by an artisan. So if you rent a house, it's got to come full with any kind of equipment which is necessary equipment and could only be made by a specialist. However, if it's something that doesn't have to be made by a specialist, such as, for instance, a gate around the roof to keep people from falling off, since a normal person can make a gate around the roof. I personally couldn't. The best I could do is dial a handyman and to do it, and usually I dial the wrong number and my wife has to do it, so that's how good I am when it comes to house fixes. But normal people can put up a simple gate around their roof, and therefore the owner of the house, when he rents the house out, does not have to supply that. That is up to the renter to supply. But if it's a work of an artisan, only an artisan could do, then the person who owns the house has to supply that product. The next part is talking about the courtyard of the house, which the renter doesn't have the right to live in, but he does have the right to graze his cows and to use the ovens that are there. So hazevel shel bal habayit ve'ein lesocher ela hayotzi min hatanur u'min hakirayim bilvad. Fertilizer, meaning dung deposited by somebody else's cows. Now it has to be somebody else's cows, because if the cows belong to the renter, then obviously the dung belongs to the renter. And if the cow belonged to the owner of the house and just happened to be grazing in there and left a deposit, then obviously it belonged to the owner. But apparently back then they had these wide courtyards that were kind of open for use, and when people came to the market, they would just let their animals graze and they would deposit the fertilizer. And while it had a certain value, believe it or not, nobody really wanted to stop to pick it up. So therefore, the question was, does the renter get to use it? And the answer is no, he does not, obviously, unless the owner doesn't want it, but otherwise, it's the owner's property. On the other hand, if you used the ovens that belong to the owner, which you have the right to use, and they produce ashes, like a chalky ashes, which the Bartner says can be used for fertilizer, that produce, that you can use if you are the renter of the house, even though it wasn't priorly stipulated. Next we move on to Mishnah Chet, more on rentals, and here it's important to mention that in ancient times there was no fixed calendar. In today's day and age, we always know whether there's going to be a leap year or not, meaning am I going to have 12 lunar months in the year, or am I going to have 13 lunar months in a year? However, in ancient times, there wasn't supposed to be a fixed calendar. The rabbis decided when it was necessary to add in an Adar bet. Usually the reason would be to make sure that Passover fell on a Chodesh Aviv, meaning it had to fall out on the spring. But there were other reasons why an extra month could be added in. So, Hamaskir Bayit L'Chaviro L'Shana, Nitabra L'Socher. So if you rent out a place by the year, that is, you stipulate a yearly price, and the year turns into a leap year, then the Socher gets to live there for 13 months at the original price when he was only expecting to live there for 12 months. However, Hiskir Lo L'Chodeshim, but if you had made a monthly contract, Nitabra Shana, and then an extra month is inserted by the rabbis into the year, you have an Adar Bet, you have a leap year, then nitabra l'maskir, the benefiter, the person who benefits is the owner, and the renter, if he wants to stay the 13th month, has to pay the price that was stipulated for the month-to-month rental. Masa b'tzipori, so the Gemara tells a story which reflects on this case. Masa b'tzipori, be'echad she'sachar merchatz mechaviro, b'shneimasar zahav l'shana, Midinar zahav lachodesh uvamas elifnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel elifnei Rabbi Yosi vaamru yachaloku et chodesh ha'ibur. So this is the story in Sipori. Somebody rented a bathhouse for 12 golden dinar a year, and one dinar a month, one golden dinar a month, meaning the contract was ambiguous. First they mentioned the yearly payment, and then they mentioned the monthly payment. So it's not clear at all whether the second statement, meaning the monthly stipulation, was just like a flourishy part that you might add into a contract, but really the intent was to rent for the year. Or was it that the person who was renting said, you know, I really don't want to rent for the year, I want to rent for the month, so I'm going to stipulate the month, and that overrides the previous statement. So they brought it before Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi, and they both agreed that the renter and the owner should split the 13th month down the middle because it wasn't clear whether it was a monthly rental or a yearly rental, and therefore, should the renter have wanted to stay the extra the 13th month, he would have to pay one half of a golden dinar.